Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You are listening to episode number 64, and I sit down today with a few folks from over at Granite Mountain Brewing in Prescott, Arizona. They're located at 123 North Cortez, over by near the Raven, where we've recorded on multiple occasions. And I sat down with one of the owners, Audra Yamamoto, and her brewer, Jared Smith. It was a fun conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Joining me also at the table was Danny Fisher. And if you've been paying attention, you know Danny has taken over the mics periodically here at the Mile High Show for her portion entitled Kaleidoscope. And that's where Danny sits down with some of the performers and artists in and around Prescott, Arizona. And she talks about their motivation and their inspiration and tries to encourage you, the listener, to get up and create a little something other than a dent on your couch. Some of Danny's work of her own is displayed over at Granite Mountain. And that's kind of how we hooked up with Audra and Jared. Danny handles the displaying of a lot of art there, both from herself and fellow artists. So go by and check out Granite Mountain Brewing for some great crafted beers, both that they create there as well as from other local folks. They've got we talk about it a little bit here, the Craft Brewing Festival this coming week, so check it out. They're going to have some special stuff in there. We talk about that towards the end of the show. And live music there periodically on Friday night specifically, I know, and then they've got some others scattered around. But check them out, granitemountainbrewing.com, where you will also find links to their social media, including their Facebook page, where you can keep up on all things happening at Granite Mountain Brewing. And don't forget, check out our website, milehighshow.com, where you can see and hear links to all of our past shows, information about our upcoming shows, including February 21st. It's a Sunday afternoon evening, 5 p.m., February 21st. We will be sitting down with a great panel of guests, an audience joining us, some live music, some giveaways, where we will be discussing our memories and fandom of the Batman and Superman franchises, including the upcoming movie that's being released in March, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. But what we're going to be talking about, and we've got some special guests lined up, just show up. Be surprised. Show up. You're going to hear some great stories. You're going to get a chance to ask some insiders, some inside scoop on the DC universe. And like I said, we're going to have some giveaways, a lot of fun. And then Jim and Kelly over at Gabby's Grill, where we'll be recording, Gabby's Grill in Prescott Valley over by the Harkins Theater. Jim and Kelly are going to be supplying us with some great food deals for those of you joining us for the Batman Superman show, the 21st of February, 5 p.m., Gabby's Grill in Prescott Valley. Now, today's show is brought to you by Audible.com, where you, again, if you go to that Mile High Show website, milehighshow.com, and click the Audible button down at the bottom of the homepage, it'll direct you to Audible.com, where you can sign up for a free 30-day trial and a free audio download from their a selection of their over 180,000 titles. So there's some great stuff on there about Superman, about Batman, and also about the theme of today's show. How about The Brewer's Tale, A History of the World According to Beer? There's also some great books on, again, the history of beer, of brewing, the brewing culture, and also some how-to stuff to get your own little craft brew started up at your home. So check out audible.com by clicking the button at milehighshow.com. Use the trial code MILEHIGH, where you get a free audio download from over 180,000 titles to choose from and a free 30-day membership. Now, that trial membership, no strings attached. You can cancel it anytime. And guess what? If you do, you get to keep that free audio download. So check them out, audible.com on the milehighshow.com page. Use the code Mile High for your free audio download. Now let's get to the show. Miss Danny Fisher, Mr. Jared Smith, and Miss Audra Yamamoto sitting down with me to talk beer, brewing, food, nightlife, and all things that popped into our head. Too many to think of right now. Sit back and enjoy.
Yeah, just relax. Are we recording right now?
Oh, we've been.
Yeah, but we get rid of all this stuff and it's not totally perfect.
Are we just kind of bantering back and forth?
Yeah, we do. It's your show anyway. I'm not even going to talk. I'm just making her comfortable. It's your show. Could be yourself.
Oh, but we banter so much better then.
I'm just here for moral support.
When did you open?
She's going to be here to hold my hand. Granite Mountain Brewing opened in August of 2012.
That's when you opened
doors. Before we did that in March, we did a Kickstarter campaign here for the month of March.
How'd you start that up? That's what interests me because I have, like we were talking about before, I have some
feelings.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for places like this where you're starting something in the community that the community can benefit from in various ways. Whether
and you
that
don't
be,
have to be a not-for-profit on Kickstarter, correct?
Absolutely.
But in so many different ways, it's a way to get people to buy into an idea, to a cause, to a business, and kind of like investors. And if you look at it that way, it's great. But in recent years, specifically the last couple of years, I've been seeing way too many, almost, I hate to use the word abuse, but kind of weird ways to use a crowdfunding program. So when did you start looking into that as a Kickstarter? That avenue is a way to get this off the ground.
We started looking into it a good couple months before we signed our lease and found a location. The way that the licensing process works is that you need to actually have a physical location before you can start applying for everything.
Licensing is in the liquor license
federal,
type thing.
State,
what kind of liquor license are you under here?
Here we have a number 3, a series 3. It's a microbrewery license, and that's through the state of Arizona. We had to also get registered with on the federal level, and then we also purchased a number 7, a series 7. So the series 3 is a microbrewery license that allows us to brew, sell our beer in the tap room, and do some self-distribution. The number 7 allows us to bring in other people's beer, wine, the mead and cider that we carry here.
Gotcha.
and be able to sell that here legally. So the Kickstarter, getting back to Kickstarter, when we were first opening this up and pulling everything together and financing and whatnot, we thought that crowdfunding would be kind of a fun way to bring some attention as well and to help out with the financing. Our logo was actually designed on a it was also crowdsourced, what they call. We put a proposal out on the website, and
who did
designers,
you use? I mean, like because I know Fiverr's one of them. That's real popular for logos and things like that.
I don't actually remember. It's been a long time now. Okay.
But you put it out there and
we
said,
put it out there.
Who can get us something that's catchy?
Yeah, and designers came back and they pitched their ideas and we narrowed it down, did a few little tweaks, and then finally settled on the logo that we had. So we had a little bit of that crowdsourcing going on to begin with. And then when we started the Kickstarter project, we just pulled it together from there. The first time we applied for Kickstarter, we got rejected.
Some of the things they're looking for?
It was too businessy. We were trying to cover our bases and be responsible about it and let people know that we were being responsible. We're not just a couple of kids trying to throw this together. And so we got rejected. We have to be more artsy. We have to be more personable and all of that. And so when we came back the second time, we then got accepted for that.
Give me the real, at least in your understanding, the bare basics of how Kickstarter works. Because like I said, there's several other, Kickstarter, GoFundMe, several others.
Crowdsourcing.
Kickstarter, what? Did you have to set an initial target? Was it more stages that you had to do?
We did. No, it was an initial target. Kickstarter is a all or nothing. I think some of the other programs out there are you get paid no matter what,
yeah,
whether you hit your goal or not.
Your goal's $10,000, mm-hmm. and if you get $500, you still get some of that.
You apparently but, still get it.
Yeah, but then they take a larger percentage. And Kickstarter is, the closer you get, I know on a couple of them that I've looked at, the closer you get to your target, the less commission the company, GoFundMe, Kickstarter, whatever it takes.
Got it.
Kickstarter is if you set a target of $25,000 and you get $24,999, you lose
you get
out.
Nothing. Absolutely. It's an all or nothing thing on that one.
Which is kind of neat about that because then as an investor, as a participant, as a crowd member of the crowd that's sourcing, You kind of know, well, you know what? If they don't get this off the ground, I'm not kicking into to a partial plan.
Exactly, right. And that's
what
kind of
was
a
your
nice,
initial?
Our initial goal was $15,000.
$15,000.
Yep, $15,000.
Just as an outsider looking in, that doesn't look like enough to get a lead. I mean, what'd you
Definitely not. No, this was, it was, it ended up being a rather smaller percentage of our overall budget that we put into to opening. Absolutely. But the, one of the fun things was that we got out there and we worked it. So we did a 30-day campaign.
For the 15,000.
For the 15,000.
So that was like your first tier kind of thing to get.
That we just wanted 15,000. That was our end goal. That's what we were.
All right, how'd you come up with that figure? What was the process to come up with that?
Okay, so we had actually gone through, and the nerdy part of it was that we researched the other breweries that were also on Kickstarter
from everywhere, not just this area.
Yeah,
okay,
no, because this was really new to us and to this area, and really it was just starting to take off at that time. So we actually grabbed the profiles of a couple different microbreweries around the states and checked out what they were doing, what their rewards were, what kind of goals they were getting, who was making it, who wasn't making it. And we did a lot of research before we put this together. And then while we had the campaign going, we did a 30-day campaign. We also held 8 different events along the way and grabbed friends to throw parties at their place. We brought beer, we brought laptops, food, and everything, and kind of pitched this idea to a couple of people and got the word out that way and sort of networked out that way. And then we also did some, we also had some newspaper coverage at the same time, and that really helped out a lot to bring in people who didn't know about us and what we were doing. And that actually garnered a lot of excitement too. So that's kind of cool.
Nice, nice. So what. What were your goals with that 15,000? What did you think, or what were you trying to accomplish with that figure?
It was really just to help us get some of the niceties. We had already had our equipment at that point. We had secured the lease.
Okay, so you had already self-funded a good chunk of this.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, gotcha.
Definitely. Boys and girls, $15,000 is not enough to open a brewery. Do not even try at this at all.
So you and your group had already invested whole souled in this financially, perspiration and muscle.
Blood, sweat, and tears all the way.
I see her chipping away at the floor in the back. Actually, she does everything. She works on construction.
Well, no. Oh, you did see me chipping away at the floor in the storeroom.
So that's a great thing to keep in mind for anybody who's looking at crowdsourcing for a project.
Yes.
And that brings me back to my concerns with crowdsourcing. Yeah, well, because there's a lot of these programs you see out there. Now, granted, some of them are great. You know, a family in need of medical expenses, an accident, some kind
funeral
of tragedy.
Services.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about businesses or potential businesses where, and I'm going to lose 15 Facebook friends if anybody hears this. I want to start a business. A restaurant. I'll throw that out there because none of them happen to be with restaurants.
Okay.
I don't want to poke somebody in the eyeball. I don't know how to cook, so I'm going to need somebody to train me how to cook. I don't have a stove and I don't have frying pans. So I'm going to crowdsource this and I'm going to do a GoFundMe so you can pay for my training. You can pay for my kitchen. You can pay for this. You can pay. And it's like, well, what are you going to do?
Right.
And here, this is a great example of the right way to do it. what you guys did. You already flexed your muscles. You spent your hard-earned money. You sweated over the project, literally, to get it going, and then said, okay, now we're to the point where we want to market and open this, and we need that push over the top.
This is the final push. Absolutely. Gotcha. If you do not do your homework, you have... No, don't even try to do something.
I've
like
seen
this.
A guy post up saying, "I want to open a business, but I need to get. I want to open up a project. It happened to be an art based type thing." Mm-hmm. And he says, "But to do that, I need to get around. So this is the car I'm looking to buy, and I need your help to reach." And it wasn't even like this is a $6,500 SUV, which. Is what it was. And I have $4,000. I need the $2,500 more to get there. I could almost see that. It's a $6,500 car. I'm starting at zero. And say, well, come on, man. Get off your butt and do a little. So here, you guys had done the bulk.
Yes.
I don't know if you're comfortable sharing this. What was the amount that before the $15,000?
I don't even remember.
Significantly more, I'm assuming.
Significantly okay. more than that, yeah.
Ballpark it. Come on. Give me.
I'm not going to say $100,000? That number. I'm Japanese. 50 grand? I don't give that kind of information away. Please edit that part out.
we'll just dub in there.
Ninja face.
Chinese.
Right? Ninja face. I like it.
But it was significantly more. Mm-hmm. So that $15,000 was like the last hurdle?
It was the icing on the cake. Gotcha. That was... Nicer pint glasses. That was nicer T-shirts. That was
worst case scenario. Worst case scenario. You put out that Kickstarter for $15,000, mm-hmm. and you didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have been able to open?
Yes.
Just not to the level of what we're looking at here, because we're looking at a very. Oh, we should start the show, huh? We're at Granite Mountain Brewery with
1, 2, 3. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, we're at
13 minutes in and starting. That's not bad that's normal for me.
Well, since I'm so structured, do you want me to give you some structure? They're open Wednesday through Sunday.
He's teasing us about having notes and information written down.
It's a beautiful facility. Right. I've been here for various things, watching Danny here record some of her episodes. Very, very comfortable, very laid back, but gorgeous looking. I've been looking for a way to sneak one of these chairs into my van when you're not looking.
Chairs, these things.
They have a back patio too. Yeah.
For those that have not met me, that have only heard me I do not fit comfortably in lots of chairs. These things are great. I love these chairs. They are gorgeous.
Neither does my brewer.
They're just fantastic, and they swallow you up, and you sit back and relax. You've got a great facility here. So that $15,000, that Kickstarter, was allowing you to get where your vision was.
Absolutely. Gotcha. We could have opened bare bones. It would have been just that much harder, but that doing the Kickstarter and having that excitement, that buzz – really did something for us. We opened on a Wednesday afternoon at 4:00, and at 3:45 we had a line starting to form at our front door. There's nothing more exciting and satisfying and nauseating than people waiting to get in on your opening day. So that was really cool. That was really a huge component to us. And
now, in the planning stages of this, you know, drop back years before, why beer? Why not a coffee shop? Why not a sandwich place? Why not a bakery? What was the genesis of beer? Or is it just being a fan? You can take 50 people. I'm going to turn you're not on, by the way, so I'm going to turn you on.
Okay.
Jared the Brewer's here.
Hi, guys.
You can take 100 people in the community. You can take 100 people in the community and ask them what their ideal business is for an area like the Courthouse Square area here, the downtown. Mm-hmm. And you will have 20 people say a great art gallery, an art studio, a good bakery, another bar, another
antique
brewery.
Don't forget the antique stores.
You will get, if you ask Dog 100 bakery. People, you're going to get 100, you know, 50 to 100 different ideas. Mm-hmm. You're going to get that small section of probably not in this town, but in some towns, you're going to get a small cross-section of the population. This is the last thing we need in this town is another bar, another place for people to drink. Right. You're going to get that.
Right.
Personally, on a personal level, I love going into, even if I'm drinking water, coffee, or a soda, whatever, I love going in. If I could pick a place to spend, specifically a rainy afternoon, I want to be in a neighborhood dive bar because I love watching people. Yes. And I love sparking up a conversation.
There's nothing better than a neighborhood dive bar.
Yeah. The Arnie's Time Out on Mission Boulevard in Hayward was a place I hung out when I was 16 years old because they didn't know any better.
Nice.
And it was great.
Did they have legs and eggs?
Yes, they did. They
I know
did.
All about legs and eggs.
Paul's, what was Paul's? Anyway, these are places I was hanging out when I was in high school because they were just great.
Right.
They were great places to sit and watch folks. Something's blown up in the back.
Cavitation.
Woo! Huh?
I think there, personally, I think there is definitely a place for folks to walk in, and when I say forget, I'm not talking about getting plowed and forgetting your troubles.
Right.
But a place to come in,
maybe later,
hear a little music, have a conversation with somebody you may never see again.
Absolutely.
To cleanse the mental palate.
Yes.
And I think coffee shops are great for that. I think donut shops are great for that. Corner diners are great for that.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And in this town, the Palace, the Birdcage, mm-hmm. Granite Mountain Brewing mm-hmm. are places you can come in, relax, get a beverage of some kind. In this case, play a game, sit back. You've got a rack of games over there.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not a place where you have to come in and order a meal. It's not a place you have to carve out 4 hours, 3 hours to sit at a formal table. You can sit back at a couch. You can sit back, listen to a little music. I think, personally, every town needs places like that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see the benefits of having a brewery like this, or Granite Mountain specifically? What do you guys bring into the community? What is it that people
beer.
Can get?
That's my brewer.
Yeah, more beer.
more beer. Some beer yeah. to have with your beer.
Well, and actually, it's kind of funny because you did touch on the coffee shop and the small dive bar, and that's really what we're doing here is even with the
but far from divey. Walk in. Come on in to, what's the address?
123 North Cortez.
Come in that place.
Yeah, that place. One well, with the numbers
come in
on the door.
And if there's a big orange cone out front, the don't come in.
That
don't
means
come
we're closed.
Well, let me ask you this, though. My friend Hank Fracon, he has a brewery in Pennsylvania.
Oh, sure, name dropping.
And they used the apples from the orchard. I ignore my boss. That's where I'm at right now.
Not
this
on her good
point.
Side today.
So his family has a farm for like 75 years. They grow apples. They make hard cider from the apples on the orchard. He was also an investor and had a portfolio and went to business school and had 100 other businesses paying his, you know, bills. So he decided to make the other farm brewing company in the middle of Boyertown, Pennsylvania, which wasn't really big. And they started their brewery. And I talked to Hank a lot, and he's very cultured, even though he's from an old podunk town. He talked about the idea of a sommelier. A sommelier is someone that develops a restaurant or a place of business that the things in the restaurant are things that
never thought I'd say
the
that.
Owner finds the best.
Okay.
So even though it may not have been from the initial opening and start the best, I'm over here flipping the bird to my boss. And I'm not.
I
can edit
Chino.
That out.
I
Why don't you
Chino.
Edit that out?
Name dropping is
right. Go
name
edit
dropping
away.
In Chino is saying so, you know the lady at Starbucks.
So at being a solely
try being from Paulden.
That you know,
live there for
this,
a number of years.
And this comes back, you know, always me being an artist and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm too structured, apparently, according to my boss.
You got have notes and everything.
But sommelier is someone that offers things that are the best, and because it's an intention of theirs to bring those things out to the community.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So would you consider Absolutely. That there might be a part of that going on here? I mean, and it's not just the brewing, although the brewing is amazing.
Brewing's
you've
amazing.
Also, you allow artwork. You've got games for the kids, and you've picked the best music in town that's here. And I'm not telling you that to, like, you know, go get you more customers, although that's nice. You know, you come here, they're all quality things that your taste reflects. That's my two cents. You can edit that out. Move on.
Go forward. I got to push record. Hold on.
Okay.
We really have to start this
and
show.
And we're back.
I'm not editing this one, you are.
Why are we Paulden, not drinking?
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah?
I'm not from there, but that's where I've been living
for. How long have you been in Paulden?
I've been there since, let's see, trying to figure out the age of my oldest son to figure out how long I've been there. Going on 13 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I moved from, in 2004, I moved in from the San Francisco Bay Area, the East Bay.
Okay.
A very small town. It was a suburb like just south of Oakland. It was a small enough town that we didn't rate the weather map on the news. It would go straight from Oakland, skip over us, go to Fremont, and then into San Jose.
Yeah, fair enough.
Hayward, California, which was
I've heard of it.
Which I met a guy in here the other night.
What were you doing?
We're going to get on a podcast soon.
He's Marianne and Norm Healy.
Norm grew up with my aunts and uncles.
That's right.
In San Leandro. Anyway,
oh, nice.
What I was getting at, I moved from a very small town of 150,000 to Paulden. At the time, it was 3,900. Talk about culture shock. But now I live in the big city. I'm in Chino.
Oh, yeah. That's town.
Hey, we got McDonald's and everything.
Dude, that's town for people in Paulden.
Yeah.
And let's go to town.
Yeah, you guys got a dollar store now.
Yeah,
Family
I know.
Dollar. It's great.
Hot damn.
But I moved from so it was a big shock. As far as, you know,
oh, sure.
Like driving 20 miles or whatever we are, 15 miles to go to Costco, to go to Walmart and stuff. Now, periodically, a couple times a year, we go back for, you know, visit family and stuff.
Sure.
And we hit that corridor on 580 where you start getting into Modesto, Livermore, into the Bay Area. And it's like, I got to pull over. My wife starts driving. I cannot do it. I can't do it. It's just, I can't. When can we go back?
Yeah.
When can we go back?
See, I grew up in northern Wyoming and northern Montana. So
the metro area.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I grew up in a little I actually spent most of my time as a child in Sheridan, Wyoming. So literally 14 miles south of the Montana border. And then I spent about 2 years up in northern Montana around Flathead Lake area. So I came from towns that were no bigger than about 30,000 people.
And that was those were the bigger.
Yeah, was the big. Those were the big towns. That was where everybody went and did their. It's like Prescott.
I was just gonna say, how does that compare to where Prescott?
It's yell at very. Him. Yell at him. Yell it's at very him. Similar. We're closed.
She's whispering because we're recording.
Oh, I'm bad. I forgot to put the cone out. Whoops.
Matt's gonna give Audra a heart attack today.
Audra needs to learn how to BS a
Someone
little bit.
Someone didn't put the orange cone back.
Yeah, I know that was me.
We need to edit that part out, too.
I'd say leave it all.
No, I don't want to. I want to be able to come back in here.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough.
Because where else can you get a good game of Cranium going?
Or Jenga.
Jenga, what else you got over there?
There's
I
Jenga.
Can't see him.
Oh, oh man, what's the
categories? They got a whole table full of good
my
stuff over
there. My kids play Connect Four, like, all the time.
You know what?
And championship rodeo.
Let's touch on a little bit. What are the requirements with the licensing you have and the building you have as far as people coming in here?
They have to have money.
Of age? With parents?
They want to drink beer.
Is there a cutoff time when they can't, when kids can't come in? Or?
No cutoff time here. And, you know, honestly, we close way too early.
I know my son's been sleeping on the couch before.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Thank God I'm not the only one.
Jared's fell asleep on the floor. So, really? Yeah.
Fell asleep? Is that how you describe it?
No. No. Okay, here's the awkward parent moment.
Let's go back to Arnie's timeout. I fell asleep on the floor there a couple of times, too. Woke up at 6 o'clock when they were opening.
I was not sleeping on the floor.
Were you cooking?
No.
Brewing?
No.
One of the greatest dive bars ever just closed in the world, and I will state that in the world, was a place that I spent a few nights in the basement.
They sounds just like a place
closed,
I can get into.
They just closed up this past, I want to say October, November, And it was in the beautiful neighborhood of the Tenderloin, San Francisco, the corner of Turk and Taylor, Frank's 21 Club. Frank's 21 Club, right on the corner, where on any given night, and this happened on various times, right around the corner from the Opera House, right around the corner from a couple of larger music venues. I started going in there with a friend of mine, Carrie Manson, when I was 16, 17 years old. We were doing a lot of work in San Francisco, so we'd show up there at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Nice.
And then stay. Frank Afulga owned the place. He was a Samoan guy who looked, I saw pictures of him recently. He looks mid to late 50s tops.
Okay.
He's in his 70s, and he's looked the same for decades.
Yeah.
Doesn't age. But he bought the place, I want to say, in the late 60s, and it is a dive bar. One of the best places you can find a good selection of Tom Waits on the jukebox. But when like when they would film Streets of San Francisco and different shows in San Francisco or movies, and they wanted to show Skid Row, you know, when they would show the they would always cut to a shot of Frank's, and that he loved it. That was good.
That's perfect.
But you'd walk in there and there would be a cab driver double parked on the curb.
Sure.
A transvestite hooker, a couple in evening gown and tuxedo coming from the opera.
Sure.
Yep.
A cop in uniform with his cruiser out and toting back a couple. And this happened on Robin Williams behind the bar pouring drinks. The guys from INXS behind the bar pouring drinks.
That's awesome.
I get a call from Frank one time. This is a number of years. We're getting way off topic here. We'll cut this out too. Frank calls me up one day and he goes, "Hey, they're filming a movie out front. You should come by. Bring your camera. I'd like some pictures for the bar." Okay, I was able to. I pop over. And I sit down and I see all the trucks a couple blocks up. And he goes, "Yeah, they broke for a while. They're going to be broke for a little bit here. They're taking, I don't know, they're resetting." Right. So there's a couple of guys. Some guys from the crew are in here. They're drinking. I sit down at a bar, at the bar. And order my what at the time was my customary 7-7, where he would fill a water glass with Seagram 7, drop in an ice cube, and then sometimes whisper the word 7-Up in it, and that was his nice. Version of a 7-7.
Nice. Yeah.
So I get my drink and I sit down, and this looked like a kid sitting at the bar, and I'm an idiot most of the time, and he's like, "Hey, how you doing? Let me buy you a drink." Okay, hey, thanks. I'll buy him one. And he proceeded to talk my ear off, and I'm like, "This guy, what's going on with this guy?" He's a very nice guy, so I'm talking with him, but he's asking questions about the neighborhood, and I don't live there, so I'm making stuff up. and I'm talking to him. This goes on for about an hour and a half, and then he goes, "Okay, guy, I got to get it. I'll see you later. Hey, great talking with you." And he walks out. And then I lean over to Frank. I go, "Hey, Frank, what are they filming anyway?" He goes, "Well, didn't you ask him? He was..." "Yeah, I guess he's in it." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. I don't know. Flash forward a year later, I see Metro with Eddie Murphy and Michael Rapaport come out. I sat an hour and a half sitting there talking with Michael Rapaport, had no idea who he was. And at the time, he looked like an 18-year-old redheaded kid. But he's just a great guy. And I'm like, I was sitting next to that guy. I never bothered to take his picture. He had no idea who he was, but just a solid guy. And a fairly funny movie, not one of Murphy's best, but it was a good, solid movie. That was what would happen when you'd walk into to Frank's 21 Club. Nice. Esquire magazine did an article several years ago on the best dive bars in America, and they were in the top 10 or so.
That's awesome.
Great spot. Anyway, every neighborhood needs one.
I agree. I agree. They need to open back up the
Sundance. Was a great spot, man.
The one in Paulden.
Which one was that? What is that called?
What was the name of that damn place? Windmill. No?
No,
that's cheap.
On the highway right there.
Yeah, right just on the north end of Paulden.
Wishing well. Yeah. Mucky owned it for a little bit.
When Mucky ran it was the best bar ever.
Before, when we moved out here in 2004... the guy that owned it.
Yes.
Do you remember who that was?
I never met the guy.
I went in and talked to him, and he owned that and a place in Chino at one point, was going through a divorce and was going to sell it.
Yeah, so he owned
and
him
was
and his wife
it for almost next.
Yeah, him and his wife owned the old Post Office Steakhouse.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
Danny Rod.
I've never met the guy. Yeah.
But I went in there. I was doing some writing at the time for a publication in California. So I would take my laptop in there to write.
Oh, yeah.
And guzzle his coffee, and he had popcorn going. And we got to talking one day, and when he told me how much he was selling it for, including like the 9 acres around it, where he had, I was like, huh? Well, and I'm coming back still ingrained in California pricing, and I was like, I know a guy that can pay for that with what he's got in his ashtray, pretty much. And
spare change bar.
And then I was like, I talked to my wife, hey, this wouldn't be a bad thing to do. We could open up the kitchen again for Red.
She goes, yeah.
Yeah, you want us to buy a bar. Are you kidding me? You'd be dead in a month. And she was right. I would have been.
Kickstart it.
She about kickstarted me right out the door. We used to live right on Catalina, right? You know where when riding down the highway, going down the highway, and they've got those pillars?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of nothing?
Yep. Yeah.
I used to live
The old Lake Estates pillars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I used to live right off of there. Then we moved it.
I live in the only subdivision in Paulden. Yeah.
No, there's a couple.
No, there's only one.
The
real
wine
one.
Ones?
That's the one I live on.
Well, no, there's the other one on the other side of the highway where my sister lives. I'll give her address because she's not home much. She's got some really cool stuff.
What's that?
I bet he knows Chance the Mechanic.
You know Chance Glover?
Mm-mm.
LC Auto and Truck Repair on right across from... They did my oil change this morning. What? Throwing a commercial.
You're too structured.
Wow.
That's how we do it.
LC Auto and Truck Repair.
Name Chance has some great stories.
Chance has
Give
some
stories.
He's got some stories. I wouldn't say great. He's got some stories. That's not. Okay.
So anyway.
Starting this interview.
Okay.
How long have you been brewing?
I have been brewing, let's see, well, commercially or since, whatever.
I don't care. What's your specialty here? What do you
know what? So basically, I don't think I really have a specialty.
Jared has a specialty.
Well, it says specialty right there.
What's my specialty?
Texas chili pie, evidently, for $7.50.
That has nothing to do with
me. Talk about the IBUs.
Okay.
No, Jared's a brewer. He makes big beer.
Okay, fair enough.
The guy cannot make small beer.
No.
He's trying today.
Hey, you know what? I just made a 5.2%.
Explain a big beer. What's a big beer?
Oh, okay. So, shut up.
You told me it was going to be 4.5.
Well, it didn't happen, so shut up.
Yeah. That's the point.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So, no, basically,
really
I'm
going to
slap my Japanese boss right now. What was the question?
Is that another Japanese joke?
What's a big beer? Explain a big beer.
Okay, so big beer is usually anything of high alcohol.
I don't listen to me either.
So, high alcohol content.
What's normal beer? You walk in.
A normal beer, 5%. We'll just call it. A normal beer is 5%.
I walk in, I get a six-pack of Miller.
I think it's like five.
That's not beer.
Five-ish.
Yeah, five-ish.
And then are there still states that are doing the 3.2?
I think that's pretty much gone now.
But that was like the
That was the thing. Like Utah, there was actually there are still counties back east that do 3.2 beer. There are still dry counties.
A standard's about a five-ish.
Yeah, five-ish.
Like your standard Pilsner you'd get at the grocery store.
Absolutely.
Or a tap beer up and down the road at other places.
Yep.
What do you consider the breaking point where you would call it?
That's a good question. I would say probably anything over 7.
Okay.
Is considered a big beer.
And what's the biggest that you would have here?
I have right now is 9.3%.
What is the big, and I'm getting to a point here in a very roundabout way.
Yeah.
Something I used to buy at Kang's. To your knowledge, like the biggest beer? And does it change? Does it not called beer anymore when it reaches a certain point?
Actually, I think it's all considered beer, but it ends up being called barley wine or something like that.
Or a wheat wine.
Yeah. Here's a shameless plug coming from my boss.
Shameless plug coming right up. Three.
Wait. Stop. Another commercial on its way.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Wheat wine.
This isn't about a truck repair, is it?
No.
Let her talk.
Jared went down to the Perch Brewing down in Chandler and did a collaboration brew with Andrew down there. And
love Andrew. He's my friend.
We heart Andrew. They created a wheat wine, and it ended up at 10.1.
Yeah, 10.1%
ABV, and we'll be launching that during Arizona Beer Week coming up.
What's the name?
February 11th.
Tell me the name.
Through the 20th. And the name is?
The name of what? The beer?
Yeah, the name of the beer is Dinosaur Squeezins.
I like it already.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be launching that on Saturday the 13th here at Granite Mountain Brewery.
Talk a little bit. Starting on the 11th.
North
starting
Cortez
at the 11th
Street.
For a couple of days, you're having this what's it called again?
Craft Brewers
Week. So it's Arizona Beer Week, and it's basically just a celebration of craft beer in Arizona. All the breweries are putting on events. And
what can folks see here? What's going to happen here?
So here at Granite Mountain Brewing, we are starting on the 11th with our kickoff party with the launch of a beer called Shiso Hop. So all the ladies of the Brewers Guild here in Arizona got together down at Huss Brewing, and we put together a brew session. And it was run by Melissa from Four Peaks and Christina from Wanderlust up in Flagstaff.
Now, that's a great, what you're talking about here is, mm-hmm. is a great showing of partnership. It's not you against them.
Absolutely.
And this organization, this association, is a way to just educate and give people a sampling of all different stuff.
It really is. Yeah, the Craft Brewers Guild is basically representation of most of the breweries here in the state. And through that, we are able to do a lot more of the collaboration and networking, which is really one of the better points of the beer industry, is that the level of collaboration more than often outweighs the competition going on.
Nice.
So we're able to come together. The collaboration that we did with The Purge, we've done others with other breweries in the past as well, and we'll do so with more in the future as well.
Now,
so.
Locally we see that with restaurants and things and mm-hmm. different, but in general, especially in larger towns and stuff, you don't see that partnership. You don't see the, hey, if you like this, you're going to like those folks down the road. They have a little different take on things.
Sure.
But
a little more competitive, but the microbreweries still sort of band together.
That's nice.
It's great. More of a family than I ever thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can go down to any, I can walk into any one of the local microbreweries here and sit down and have a conversation with the brewer, and there's not a rivalry.
Okay. Really. Of course, what we want folks to come in and try is Granite Mountain Brewing.
Well, I agree with that. Yeah.
1, 2, 3. North. How can I not know
Cortez
that?
Yes. North Cortez Street. Still in downtown Prescott.
But right across the street is the Raven that has a lot of different stuff going on. Do they do their own there?
No.
They're just a tap house.
Yeah.
Said you can walk into other places. What are some of the other ones that we can, in addition to Granite Mountain Brewing?
Yeah, so you have, Prescott Brewing right around the corner. They're literally the first brewery in Prescott.
Since Prohibition.
Yeah, basically since Prohibition. Yeah,
Probably before.
But
I'm not saying they're criminals.
Yeah, so, I mean, Prescott Brewing Company, then you've got Lonesome Valley out in Prescott Valley, and then you have Black Hole Beer Company, which is also in Prescott on kind of the north end of Prescott. And, yeah, we all – in fact, I just talked to Eric, the owner and brewer of Black Hole, yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think
he popped in.
I don't want you to speak for them, but I think they also started with a crowdfunding thing when they started going as well.
I don't know.
I believe they did.
I have no
Claire
idea.
Loge, a friend of mine, started.
Yes,
she was helping doing some video clips and things for them. I think they did something like that too.
Yeah, Eric did. Eric and Stephanie did a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
All over it.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fun.
I wanted at some point for Jared to explain
we're out of time.
IBUs and ABVs.
Oh, I can totally do that.
Yes. Not PIAs.
And that's what we're going to have to open here, just FYI.
So okay, yeah, IBUs.
I got lots of battery left. We can
ABVs?
Stay open all day.
Was your question?
Yeah, explaining where you get those, what they're from.
Okay, yeah. So IBUs is basically, it stands for International Bittering Unit. Okay? And the higher the number, the more bitter the beer is. So right now I've got like my 100 ounces of Attitude, which is 100 IBU.
I see that.
I love that beer.
J Rods has 67.
I do pretty much.
Do you guys do it together?
It's kind of like.
Oh, and then the alcohol is ABV.
Yeah.
And the alcohol is just the ABV. Okay.
Yeah, ABV is alcohol.
When you do purchase a beer here, you can look and see how many IBUs it is, plus how much alcohol is in there. I usually say no, not under 7. Don't give me anything under 7.
Good girl. I appreciate that.
Yep. Go IPA.
Okay. Well, let's talk.
IPA all the way.
I wanted to bring this up because this was another Kang's gem that we used to get there. I'm probably butchering the name. Well, no, I know I am. It was some European company that put it out, and okay. the letters on the label, and they had several different versions, was EKU. We didn't know if that stood for something or if it was EKU or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it was EKU 28. They branded it as the world's strongest beer. It was 13.2.
That was a long time ago.
We picked up, yeah, this was in
because they're early, way bigger now.
Early 80s.
I have a 14% in my fridge at home.
We would buy me and my buddy Mark Silberman. We would buy. He doesn't speak to me much anymore.
Sorry,
this might,
Mark.
This might be why we used to pick.
I'm not
this
sure
up.
How long I'll we be talking to you. Either.
We used to pick this up, and we didn't know anything other than it was really strong. And
yeah.
the guy who looked at our Letterman jackets and sold it to us anyway told us it was the strongest one, and that's what it said on the label. And so we threw it in the refrigerator and cracked it up one day, and it was the worst. Tasting oh, yeah. stuff in the world. It tasted like soy sauce. That was the... So we pulled it out of the refrigerator. We guzzled down the one and realized why it was the strongest. It did its job. But we left it in the garage out of the refrigerator. And then a couple weeks later, we cracked another bottle, and it tasted much better warm.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But while we're sitting over by Mark's pool drinking now the rest of that six-pack... We started sweating, and we could taste it coming out of us. But it was an acquired taste, I guess you should say, kind of like scotch. You know, it's an acquired taste.
Yeah,
but it was very soy saucy.
Oh, you know, it's,
this show brought to you by Kickelman.
Yeah, Kickelman. Low sodium soy sauce.
23 North Cortez.
Silver Swan is my wife's favorite. Soy sauce, by the way.
Yeah, there was. I mean, there are breweries now that have.
Don't leave.
Like the only Japanese lady at the person at the table just left after the Kikkoman comment.
I've been working on a joke. I got a form.
You right should work on protection once you leave.
Way too racist, but I won't talk about that yet.
Please stop.
It didn't mean to come out that way. It just did.
I really didn't mean it that way. Yes.
Beat you.
So anyway, you asked me how long. Okay. So trying to keep this afloat, and it's just not working. Thank God I have beer. You asked me how long I've been brewing.
Yeah.
Probably, did I think. Yeah, I think so. If I remember right. 7 years.
Professionally? No. Or that's when you started?
No, I started brewing 7 years
Why
ago.
Why did you start doing it on your own?
Because I loved beer. And I'd always wanted to start making my own.
What was your first batch like? Was it drinkable?
It was delicious.
Well, it was drinkable. Because I know
it was great. Yeah.
I got a couple buddies who have done their own. The first couple batches
Swill. Yeah, it's
were
horrible.
Useless. And then... Later, they you know, so, tweaking it and learning.
So, no, my brother Cameron, who's 6 years younger than I am, single, lived in Houston, had a roommate that brewed beer. Their roommate showed my brother how to brew beer. My brother came up to Paulden, Arizona. We sat on my back patio, and we went to Flagstaff, bought an obscene amount of money worth of brewing supplies, and came back to the house the next day, brewed a batch of beer.
She's coming back.
It was the Monsoon Madness Brown, which was like 10.5%. That was great. I mean, it was fantastic.
I'm coming back.
Did you experiment with different flavorings?
Oh, absolutely.
Was there something you were trying to get to?
No.
Or just try
no.
it and
see? No. So my brother showed me something really great, and he said, if you want to know what particular grain is going to do to your beer, eat some.
Eat
the grain itself. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. So I started doing that when I was formulating recipes. And so him and I sat down and literally made a recipe, went to Flagstaff, bought all the equipment.
She's going
to
trip right over that cone.
Bought all the equipment and bought the grain, the ingredients.
Yeah.
So.
It's all right.
Is that Barb? Hey, Barb.
She wants to wave at you.
It's the Brewmaster Fan Club.
Totally.
Is this a walking tour? Like
pretty much.
Like the buses that go through Hollywood and point out Barbara Streisand's
for the most
house?
Part.
There he is. There he is. There he is. Oh,
yeah.
He's so dreamy.
Look at the beard. Oh.
But yeah, so anyway, my brother got, long story short, my brother got me brewing.
There's nothing left.
And...
It's
boundaries.
The rest is kind of history. I started off with a very basic homebrew system, and then literally in no short order, made a giant, you know, made a full kegel system, two pumps, single tier. Only the beer nerds know what I'm talking about.
So you get to come in and do essentially your hobby.
Oh yeah, totally. Now it's a job, which is awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's so cool.
I had a guy hire me at a bar one time, and he specifically told me, he goes, that way maybe you'll call in sick every once in a while. I won't have to look at you because you're here every single day. And it didn't work. I called in sick and then showed up at the bar.
I want to see
thanks,
perfect.
Willie.
That's something.
Actually,
that,
that's the guy that the
Norm
knows. He partnered with him in Oakland. He was an old Oakland cop.
See, that's perfect.
Nice.
Yeah, I love stuff like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So here, let's go through because you've got a menu as well.
Are we starting the show?
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
Really, did we just start the show?
56 minutes in, we better start.
Oh, let's start this business.
Ay, ay,
ay. I still got a friggin' mash tun to clean out.
So before we get open. What do we got here? You can come in. It's obviously not just comfy chairs and beer. What else do you have here?
We have a nice small kitchen menu as well. Just a couple of offerings to snack on while you're drinking more beer. And we also have one more beer. Unamas.
Carbs and savories.
Totally.
Yes. Savory food.
It's delicious.
Not onion dip. For the faint of heart.
Italian meat trio. Is that now, am I reading the menu or is that a band that's playing here next weekend? The Italian meat trio.
They're my cousins.
Is Antoine in that one?
Yeah. I'm sure Drew Hall has a hand.
Just as long as Gary's not playing, he scares me.
Oh, Gary's awesome.
Oh, he is. He just intimidates the heck out of me.
Why?
He just does.
Okay, back to the food.
He's mentioned way too much on this whole show. Every couple of weeks, we talk about how Gary scares me. And then I saw him at Birdcage the other night, and he just looked at me, and he says, "Hi, Matt, how you doing?" And I went to the bathroom.
I'm pretty sure Gary's actually standing right outside.
Is he right?
Because I saw Dallas walk by.
The elusive unicorn.
So Ben likes the chili pie anyway.
Yep, so we do have a nice small menu here.
I don't show up at your house and show you how to paint. Leave me alone.
Wow. Well then.
He would if he could.
I feel like there's a point in the show where maybe things start to start unraveling.
Oh, that happened months ago. That's okay.
I thought that happened before I showed up.
It did.
I think so.
Actually, it did.
How important are pairings of food and brew?
Pairings of food and brew are important. And yet, it really depends on what you want to drink and what you want to eat. Well, honestly, if you don't like an IPA, I don't care how spicy that food is, you're not going to enjoy
it. But no,
the IPA.
There's certain, just it's often attributed more to wines, you know, pairings of different wine types to foods and things.
Used to be.
Absolutely.
But there's a huge thing now where they're pairing food with beer.
And so folks can come, and that's one thing about my very few trips in here, it's very welcoming. It's very nice, and I think we've just wrecked that, and I don't know that I'm able to come
back
anymore.
Yeah, we killed it.
But wine specifically can be a little intimidating. People, you know, have for generations, wine has had the reputation as being sophisticated.
The pinky has to be up.
It could be a little more intimidating, more so obviously than beer, but the appreciation, the craft that goes into it, and the pairing with food is just as high a level. So can folks feel free to come in here and say, "Hey, I like this beer.
Sure.
What would go good with it?" Or "I like certain foods, what would you suggest to go along with those?"
Sure. They can definitely ask, but honestly, it goes back to the individual palate. You drink what you like.
So come in and try everything.
Exactly.
You can get a flute.
A flute? You mean a flight?
A flight.
So what,
a flute?
What do you like in here?
I have an IPA.
You mentioned it's got to, you know, be that 8 point or you're down.
I like 7% or more.
Yeah, over 7.
Hoppy, heady. Beers.
Ben is my IPA girl.
I know that my friend Jeff Daberman, when he comes in here, he can't even handle a whole pint.
And he
gets to the two
little,
small ones because he'd rather just taste. and it's more about the taste for him. Okay. I'm like, I need a buzz with my beer. I'm a mom. And
okay. give me a high five right now, Danny. Perfect.
Yeah, I'm a mom.
Right. I'm an IPA person, big time IPA person, but they do go
by
good
the way,
with spicy Mexican food.
Yes.
And did you
and
see
awake.
Around the Halloween time that they were trying to pair beers with like peanut butter cups with IPA and like
Lame.
They had this whole thing to pair your not that Halloween
pyramid
candy's good
out
for
of Berkeley.
You, but they were like this goes with the beer.
Oh,
yeah.
Their restaurant and brewery in Berkeley on Gilman we used to hang out there a lot. It was a great spot. And they had a wall full of taps, and they had suggestions, and they had the sampler platter with the little shot. Different thing. They had and I'm not much for the flavored.
Oh, the,
I just saw you had a coffee beer here last week.
No, but they had a chocolate stout that was incredible. Their fruit,
Fibber.
They had a cherry something that was really, because it wasn't real overpowering.
Yeah, sure.
Buffalo Bills in Hayward was a spot we used to go to quite a bit, and they had some of their Oktoberfest beers, and they had a pumpkin ale that I've tried pumpkin ales before, and they were like, ugh. No, didn't
overpower pumpkin.
Don't try the chai beer either.
Great.
That's out there. That's
I've had it.
A no,
was
I've
great.
Had it.
It's so it's a matter then of not just putting a flavor in to have a flavor thing, but to really go through.
That's the beautiful thing about beer is that there are people that love beer like you're talking about that love flavored beer. Some a brewer makes a beer and then they're like, hey, this would be really, really good with a blueberry in it or whatever the case is.
Whiskey.
And I would be more part to the whiskey side of it. I'm not a big fan of putting a bunch of different things in my beer. I would just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
It's like, people love to do mocha choca, latte, stout, whatever. There was other expletives that I refrained from.
My dad's an old timer, and he calls it on my Bach, your Bach. My Bach, your Bach crap.
Okay, well, so now, and that's kind of actually can be kind of misleading because a Maybach is a fantastic beer.
Yeah.
But there's no, a Maybach is just a beer style. It doesn't have a bunch of stuff in it. It's yeast, grain, hops, and water. That make a Maybach.
And are pilsners more processed, or do they just taste more processed?
No, it's just how they're. Well, they can be. It depends who makes them.
Yeah.
I mean, pilsners, lagers, things like that.
They just seem more.
It's how they're fermented.
Yeah.
They're much more crisp. They're very light. It's not a process, or it's not like they're being processed more. It's the fact that they're fermented at a super cold temperature, and then they're filtered, and most of them are filtered. And there you have it. You have your end beer. They're aged. And
so for somebody who is more accustomed to the American mainstream big breweries, the Buds, the Millers,
Miller
the Michelobes, whatever, but wants to flex their muscles a little bit, they want to come in and experience things, what would you suggest folks start with?
Oh, number one is the blonde. So we have a blonde. I think it was one of the first beers I did when I got here. It was, and when I go back to talking about my specialty is big beers, that was supposed to be like a 5.5% beer. It came out 6%.
Nice.
So, of course, we just kind of left it and let it roll to see what people thought, and they loved it. So we ended up just, I was told by Audra, leave it. Leave it at 6. Just keep making it that way. And that was kind of the way it turned out. And I've got a lot of friends that are Coors Light, basically we call them BMC drinkers, Bud Miller Coors drinkers.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that's what that stood for.
Yeah,
I was afraid
that could
for a
be
minute
very
there.
Bad. So, but yeah, I mean, they come in and they like it. They will sit there and drink it. My horseshoer for my daughter's horse loves it and wants to trade me
you
for
give
horseshoeing.
Him a plug?
I like that. Is that Joe?
He's got a business?
No, it's not Joe.
give him a plug.
Actually, he doesn't really have a business.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he just does it on the side.
I had a dentist that worked out of his van.
Well, after all those horse bruises and arthritis, a good beer would help you.
Right. Unlicensed pharmacist.
So,
Okay, you guys got notes. Let's start the show. What did you want to cover in your notes?
Every fourth Friday here, I'm the arts coordinator. It's Danny Fisher. We do the Mile High Artist League where we
have...
Hi,
Danny.
Hi there.
Not associated with, but very, very much encouraged and supported by the Mile High Show.
Thank you
much. There's a lot of Mile High stuff here. People keep thinking I'm part of the Mile High Comedy Theater.
Oh.
No, sure. No. They're talented folks.
Well, you can either steal Granite... Well, it's Granite... Isn't it Granite Mountain or Mile High? Those are like the two biggest names. Like, yes. You drive around, there's like Granite Mountain Plumbing, Granite Mountain this and that, and Mile High is the other one, and High Desert was already taken.
And I'm not in Denver either. Oh, I keep getting people. I get emails. I get people sending me email. Hey, you should come check out our coffee shop. Yeah, okay. It's 900 miles away.
Right? Only $600 plus a ticket. Yeah. So
I'll take an Uber.
We have art shows here from different artists every fourth Friday, and what a nice pairing besides the booze, that the beer that comes with it, and the ciders from Superstition Meadery. Well, there's Superstition Meadery does ciders. Where do you get your wine from?
Piment and mead as well.
What is mead?
Mead is honey wine.
It's a wine though, not
technically it is a wine. Beer, yes.
Typically like 12%,
and
I think.
Typically, isn't that like one of the first?
The oldest
Viking beverage. Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Ancient Egypt, right?
Pagan Vikings drank the mead. Yeah. They did. They ran around and they were like,
out of the horn.
But back from that, haven't they found some drinkable in like the pyramids when they were first excavating those turn of the century?
Well, they put the honey on the people when they decay and stuff because that's what they use in facials. It's a preservative.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to believe I got off topic, huh? No, I had read you, way back like in the early 1900s, they just went in and found a... What?
I'm bragging about the beer and the arts not mean I'm trying to portray a commercial, just so we're clear. Just because I brag about those things, they're actually things I really like. I'm a sommelier.
If I can't spell it, I don't say it.
So they have we have the artist every fourth Friday. We have an art walk here, and the artists come to meet you, talk about their artwork, and they bring extra artwork out that day. And then one Wednesday a month, we have an artist social where we all come out again to help promote ourselves, because you can't be Van Gogh in the corner cutting off your ear. You have to be a part of your community. Audra has allowed us to do that here, so we sell
also
art.
The audio art. You've got music and things going on here.
Parker Smith, Cheek Tones Trio.
Drew and Anton. Yeah. Had a number of good shows.
What's
up.
The other guys? The Pings. You were talking about having the Pings in here.
Oh, yeah, Ping Brothers. We love those.
A lot of the staples in the music, and as Danny brought out, the art community are being showcased and encouraged through Granite Mountain Brewing. I want to say, I keep looking over there because I want to call it Granite Mountain Brewery for some reason, and it's Granite Mountain Brewing.
You won't be able to tag it on Facebook unless you do Brew
Inc. That's why I keep looking over, because it's written really big on the wall.
Yes, I painted that.
Very nice.
And she chipped away at the floor in the back.
I chipped away at the floor and
right, she's all over the place.
So this...
And it's family oriented because you got all those games.
I wanted to ask too, for those that are not alcohol drinkers, what do you have in here?
What?
Yeah, water.
Oh, I'm kidding. Okay.
Yeah, we have a Circle K around the corner. Grab an iced tea, will you? I'm drinking a very nice glass of refreshing water.
Why, thank you. We have great water here. I know, I'm losing focus.
Wow.
I'm like two things on.
So you've got a very nice... menu. This isn't a full-blown restaurant menu,
not
though.
Not a full-blown restaurant menu. We do make a lot of things from scratch and in-house. So the chili that's up there, it's a Texas-style chili. No beans. No filler beans. But it's all Arizona beef with that. And we slow cook it for 8 hours.
Soft drinks, lemonade, coffee, what?
Coke, Diet Coke, 7-Up. We just added 7-Up. Yeah. Izzy's. The apple,
the Uncola,
orange, and blackberry. My microphone is getting warm.
Right.
I feel it's like it's rebelling.
Wow. Really?
It's rejecting the show before it launches.
Apparently.
All right. So what else? What else do we got? About? This is going up Monday, just a few days before your February 11th.
Awesome.
Arizona Beer Week kickoff.
Great. So your kickoff happens on 11.
To the bigger event you were talking about in May. You mentioned that to me.
Something in May?
The national.
Oh, it's American Craft Beer Week.
Yes.
National, American, close enough.
Same thing. Yeah. Word.
National
like
League
the
American.
AFL and the NFL.
Does this one have the designated hitter or no?
No.
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 Not at all.
All right.
Jenny just put her.
No, this is me. This is my calendar. So this airs Monday. So the 10th is our artist meet and greet. The 11th is Beer Health Ladies Night.
Calendar. It just
and then
real.
The 12th all the way to the 20th is Arizona Craft Beer Week. Alrighty, so not only do you have to listen to this on Monday, you need to come see us on the 10th.
And we have a good
and the entire
good
week
chunk
for that matter because it's Arizona Beer Week.
La, 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 la. We got a big chunk of listeners outside of the area as well.
Oh, awesome. That's
so
great.
It's Arizona. It's statewide. You folks down in Phoenix, find yourself somebody
check
participating.
The...
You know of anybody off the top of your head? That,
oh, my gosh. Everyone is doing something. So go to craft beer.
Oh, got a website. We really got to start this
show. I'm not allowed to say anything, so I can't help.
Why? I turned your mic back on.
Oh, we just got crossed arms.
Stink eye.
Check out.
Stink eye.
Okay, give us a website.
ArizonaBeerWeek.com. All of the breweries around the state are hosting some sort of event.
I'm assuming some kind of event calendar's on there so folks can look
anywhere
in the state. You
can filter
find somewhere
by location. Yeah, so just check out your closest local brewery.
And then what's the biggie in the American
Craft Beer Week?
We don't have
actually
details on that yet.
Yeah,
no,
but for us, the biggest biggest thing for us is going
to
be Arizona Craft Beer Week.
I think it starts on the 5th, so check back on the 1st and ask us what we're doing.
Yeah,
that's great. And above all, and I know we goofed around on it, but the biggest thing about, and obviously nobody, including Danny, has ever listened to the Mile High Show in the past.
No, I did, and I don't want to do it again.
Wow.
No, my whole thing
rude
is, and we talked about this before we plugged in, we try and stay away from the whole infomercial type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get to know folks.
What?
We want to sit down and have, listen to a conversation. It's
so much easier to go.
For anybody tuning in, downloading these shows, I want them to feel like they just kind of stumbled into a good conversation at a coffee shop, at a bar or something.
No, that's perfect.
Sometimes we talk about stuff, and sometimes we just talk.
And that's the cool thing, because I used to listen to a podcast for brewing, and it's a lot of the kind of same banter. It's a group of, you know, five or six people that are in the industry, and most of it is total, well, I shouldn't say BS, because I mean a lot of what they say is true. In fact, all of what they say is true. But it's just great banter between like four or five different people, and
it's
more
organic.
It's not scripted.
The biggest thing I want people to come away with after listening is one, have a good time, enjoy listening to it, and then know about places that they can walk into Granite Mountain Brewing
at 123 North Cortez.
Shameless plug.
Just ignore the orange cone and walk right on in.
No, that's please don't. Actually wouldn't change because I've actually met some of the greatest people that walk by the orange cone.
And
they're like,
end up having a really nice time.
Yeah, literally
them.
Just end up.
123 North Cortez.
Downtown
Facebook,
Preston.
Granite Mountain Brewing. Search it in Facebook.
Brewing.
ING.
Yes. And website?
GraniteMountainBrewing.com.
Perfect. And there's some nice history on there about the Kickstarter, how it started. I looked at it. It's still there. Well, it was yesterday.
Oh, it's still there.
Anyway, all the contact info for Granite Mountain Brewing at 123 North Cortez is right there. Phone number?
928-778-5535.
And rough hours. Afternoon. You guys open in the
afternoon.
3 o'clock, except for Sunday.
Four.
Oh. Snap.
Danny shows up at 3.
We open up at 4. We open up at 4 Wednesday through Friday. Saturday we open at 11. And Sunday we open at 1.
And you guys, you had mentioned as far as your closing, you're not closing the place at 2 o'clock. What's your typical close time?
Oh, 9 or 10 at night.
So this is a great spot. Meet some friends at 123 North Cortez.
Downtown Prescott. You're
me, fired. Me,
so no, if anybody who listens to this podcast, if they don't write that down after the 37th time 123 North
gonna,
Cortez has
the
been
links
said.
You're going to have on there.
Yeah,
no, it's
we're
a great
golden.
Spot. It's a great spot to come in, grab a great tasting craft beer, get a little bite to eat, and then...
Chat
hit the hit the bars
no,
if you're hit
stay,
if you're
stay,
no well if you you're close
oh,
at 9 o'clock
at 9 or 10, yes.
And then you go over
but
right,
we've been,
but there's
we've
typically
been,
music here
yeah.
until
yeah.
9 o'clock it's usually
and we have been
nine.
Known to stay open way later
yeah,
when the place is
that's
packed
that's kind of your,
but you didn't hear that from Jared
you're rough that's
yeah,
kind of your
tell,
rough guideline
yeah
don't tell my bartenders
but no and then if you're looking for a later night out on the town
sure
still have had a great time
hit the row. Hit the row after that.
Oh, like maybe on a Wednesday night, you can then leave here and go to the Sky Daddy late night polite. It's the longest name for a show on Whiskey
late
Row.
Late night
polite. And it's getting longer.
I like that.
Every week we extend it out. I think the other night it was the Sky Daddy late night polite guitar delight bongo. Open mic night.
Wow,
is what it was.
That is a mouthful.
No, we're getting it longer.
I don't even know what to say to that.
That's kind of Sky Daddy's running joke.
Wow,
we're just adding another phrase to it each week, and then by the time his shows actually start airing, once we say the name, we'll be out of time. So, all right, Ms. Audra, what else you want to plug?
Oh, jeez, I don't even know at this point.
Because we really got to start.
Welcome to Granite Mountain Brewing, 123 North Texas, downtown Prescott.
If you come in this week, what's the good beer?
What's that?
What do you got?
What's the newest?
Oh,
best?
So you know when you're talking about the beer, there it goes. Wow, it keeps the mic keeps
wow.
going away from me.
Yeah.
No, we're good.
No, that's what happens when our time is up.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, you're done. So basically, the beers that we have on tap, we've got. The cool thing about brewing at Granite Mountain is I kind of get free range of what I want to brew for the most part. So there's a pretty big difference in what I've got on tap. We've got the Blonde, which is a very nice 6% light
beer. So that's
beer.
A good – somebody wants to come in
yeah, absolutely.
And sample.
Absolutely.
And
I call it a gateway beer.
Greg's here. He's going to need help hauling grain.
Yeah, I'll help him.
That's cool.
Hang tight, Greg.
Hi, guys.
So,
hey, Greg.
Basically, we've got the Blonde Ale, we've got Trip 7's American Brown, which is just a 30 IBU, mid 5% IBU, or mid 5% beer. And then we've got J-Rod's IPA, which is a great, it's a little fairly large regular IPA at 7.4%. Roughly, it's like 67 to 70 IBU. We've got the Black Cow Milk Stout. Actually, Danny's just drawn a picture of myself.
Nice beer.
Above a pint of beer.
What's that?
That's the microphone.
Oh, the microphone.
Wow, that's actually pretty impressive. So I want a full portrait of that hanging in the brewery wall.
Yeah.
You know what? It's an hour.
You have it already? Okay, that kind of scares
that we
me.
We really need to start. Let's introduce who we're sitting.
Oh, wow. So, okay.
This is Jared, by the way. I don't know his
Danny
last name.
Fisher, is sitting in with me today.
Yeah.
This is the Mile High Show.
I'm just here for the abuse. That's the only reason I come.
So we're here with the Mile High Show. We have, my name's Jared. I'm actually Jared Smith. I am the head brewer.
Or is that just the name you use to check in a hotel?
That is my total alias.
Mr. Smith.
But no, truly, my name is Jared Smith, and I am the head brewer at Granite Mountain Brewing Company. And I'm going to hit Danny with my microphone.
123 North
Cortez. At 123 North Cortez, in case you haven't heard it already.
And you are?
I am Audrey Yamamoto.
We might be related. My sister is Eva Yamamoto.
I almost spit IPA out of my nose.
The short Asian boss lady.
Jared, this guy's going to get a hernia without your help.
Is actually
okay,
Eva
I
got to
take a break from this.
Rodney Yamamoto and his family in Vacaville in Sassoon, California.
Oh, okay.
By way of Honolulu.
Oh, got it. Very
this is Matt Santos, by the way. You're on the Mile High Show.
Oh, wait. I got to hit record. Hold on. Say that again.
Matt Santos, Mile High Show.
I think we are pretty good. Anything else you want to add in or before
what
we
kind
start.
Of music would you like?
We're located at 123 North Cortez in downtown Prescott.
GraniteMountainBrewing.com. Find right us on Facebook. The, also join What Happened to Prescott.
So what happened? Drive over to Prescott. Look for a bunch
way
of,
over there.
Look for a bunch of antique shops, and right next door is Granite Mountain Brewing at 123 North Cortez.
Across from Foothills Bank to the right of Papa's.
No, they closed.
Oh.
Yeah, they're not
across
there anymore.
From Four Leaves.
It didn't have anything to do with the bankers coming over and drinking their lunch,
no,
did it?
Okay. No, we didn't open for lunch for them.
Okay. For them, just for them.
See,
just.
We stay out of trouble.
Okay. Well, okay.
And we should get talk.
We gotta let you guys go to work, and I really gotta start this show. So we'll
located at
123 North Cortez.
Jared,
I'm
Audrey,
leaving
thanks.
At that. You thank guys. You, sir.
Thank you so much.
This has been a good time.
Now don't you leave me here. Said don't you leave me here.